Hi, I'm Thomas Cook. Welcome to Making It and what that means to me.
Well, last episode you taught me what wow meant. Without words, you, my friend, are full of words that leaves your audience wowing. So, episode 6, we are back with the man, the legend, Thomas Cook, making it with Thomas Cook. And in the last episode, we talked about what it takes to start a fraternity and what Sigma Chi meant to you. This episode, I know there was so much more you wanted to say about what Indiana as a state means to you and the work that you've been able to do there and how it's affected your future and your present. So tell us a little bit more about Indiana and what it means to you and what you're able to get done there during those college years.
Wow, Brian, that was really good. What did you say? I'm kidding. So, you know, when you were talking, I was trying to think about the one thing we haven't explained yet from the very beginning is why is this episode or why is this book, why is this podcast called Making It? Because what I want to try to explain and share to everyone is when is it in our life that we say we've made it? Because I've learned we're always making it. Yeah. It changes every single day, month, and year. And if every time I said to myself, this is it. You know, when I sang for the President of the United States the first time, I said, this is it. I made it. And then I realized, oh my God. Little did I know, years later, I would then sing for Prince Charles, and then I didn't know I'd be Engelbert Humperdinck, and then I'd work with Wayne Newton, and then Jewel, and I'll tell that story, and then meeting Dolly Parton. What is making it? Making it, for me, was the moment I sat at my table and was offered a job later on, and I said, do I give up show business, and did I make it? And I realized, you can always go back. Just because you move on in your life doesn't mean you can't go back. So the Indiana thing for me was I wanted to get a college education. I wanted to do cool things. And what I didn't finish about Indiana, which was so important, is the fraternity was incredible. I'm so glad I did that. And that took a full year and a half of my life, 100% dedication, and going to class in between. You know, it's important to go to college too. But then this thing. When I talked about the car accident, the life and death thing again. And I really wish everybody could experience what I mean when I say that life and death. And I think everybody should live their life like life or death. Because if you do that, you realize all I have is today. Treat today as though it could be your last day and make sure you have nothing you look back that you forgot to do. All right, so there's not enough time sometimes. But for me, did the fraternity, then I said, okay, what else do I do now? So then I knew that if you were an RA, you could get your own room for free. So I thought, oh, that'd be so cool. So I went through the process of that, and I became an RA. And the first thing I ever did was delivered 15 pizzas, because I'd never seen anybody deliver a pizza on Cape Cod. We didn't have delivery. Watching 15 pizzas getting that end, and bought all the sugar wafers at the Blue Light Special. I've never seen a Blue Light Special. And I had some of my brothers drive me into the store with the Blue Light Special. I'm like, what the heck is a Blue Light Special? And that was sugar wafers on sale that day. I bought them all, brought them back to all the dorms. So did the RA thing, that was awesome. And then I thought, okay, now what else? So then the other thing is, I was in class one day with a professor, and he asked people in the class, who is Jesse Jackson? And he asked this girl, and she didn't know the answer. And he said, what's it like to be a woman and to be stupid? And he said that in front of the entire lecture class. And I stood up and I said, excuse me, sir. I said, but we are not here to be intimidated. We're here to learn. And he said, young man, I am paid by this university to teach this class the way I see fit. And I said, no, sir. You are not paid by this university. You are paid by we, the students. Yeah, so if you're listening, I don't even remember his name because I don't want to. But I do remember he said, Mr. Cook, I will keep an eye on you. And I said, and so shall I. Back then, if you missed three classes, you automatically got an F. And I'll never forget this. My third class I overslept, didn't go to. I called my friend whose brother was a dentist. And it was a little white lie, but I didn't want to get an F. He called. This man actually called the dentist's office to see if I had an appointment. The doctor wasn't there, so the nurse said, no, he's not on the books. So he calls me and says, I got you. I'm like, oh my God, you got me. What do you mean? He goes, you lied. You never had a dentist appointment, and you forged your father's name, which was T.W. Cook. At this point, I'm 21. There's no forging anything. My father had the same initials I had, so there wasn't that. He says, I will submit you to be suspended from college for a semester, this and that. And he did submit me to all that stuff. I went to the president of the college and said, this guy's crazy. I told him what happened and why we became enemies. And the president of the college said, Thomas, he has tenure. I didn't know what tenure meant back then. So I learned. When you have tenure, you kind of...
do whatever you want.
Yeah. Submitted my name. It was brought to the student court. He got a letter back from the attorney general that said, because of my GPA, which was very high, because I was president, founding father of Sigma Chi, because I was an RA... at this time, they will reprimand me, but there will be no suspension, blah, 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 signed by the attorney general. The best part of this story was I was the attorney general. I wrote my own letter. I was the attorney general of the student court. I can tell that story now, 25 years later, because I never told a soul. And I didn't, my signature I signed, but I didn't have my actual name typed. That was kind of God's way of kind of helping the situation a little bit. And of course, the president of the college knew, and we kept it a secret. The other thing was, I was paying tuition, but I was like, how do I get my tuition lower? Cut to back to the beautiful piano player, Jeff Bowen, myself, and there was this beautiful, I mean like Miss America beautiful, African-American singer. Her name was Shelley. So I took Shelley, Jeff, and me, and I went to the president and named this group Reaching Out. And I said, President Landini, I said, I'm gonna put together a group. We're gonna travel the Midwest. I'm gonna increase admissions to the college. Every time I sing in a gymnasium, I will recruit XYZ. For every amount of money that I bring to that, you make sure you deduct more of my tuition from college. He says, you have a deal, Thomas, if you can bring the numbers up. So I actually went, traveled the Midwest with the president of the college and sang in gymnasiums with this girl and Jeff Bowen. We even rewrote the theme song of ISU. And if you're listening, Jeff and Shelley, remember the theme song of ISU, the anthem. We wrote that. That's pretty cool. The other thing was the governor of Indiana would nominate every 2 years a student to sit on the board of trustees. I thought, oh, wouldn't that be cool? I'd get appointed by the governor, be on the board of trustees. It'd be kind of cool. So I met the governor of Indiana. I got interviewed for the job. In between that year, there was a girl that sat in class. Nobody really talked to her because she was pregnant and she wasn't married. And back then, I'm sure you know what they call that. She and I would become friends, and she was so sweet, Josie. If you're listening, Josie, love you. And Josie was sweet, she was quiet, we chatted in class, and one day she said, hey, I heard that you are a pretty good singer. She goes, my grandmother's really sick in the hospital. Would you come and sing to her and put a smile on her face? I said, I'd love to. So she brings me to Indianapolis, we go into this hospital, and she was in a very large room. I didn't know hospitals had rooms that large. And I walk in singing, Mr. Sun, Sun, shiny Mr. Sun, won't you please shine down on me? She goes, shut up! She goes, I'm dying! I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, oh. So I went up to her ear and I said, put a smile on your face right now. Your granddaughter brought me here to put a smile on your face. If you don't do that, she's gonna cry. But, so she smiled. She put a big smile on her face. God bless her. She goes, Thomas, have you ever been to the Indy 500? I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm from Cape Cod. Is that the thing where cars go really fast and you don't see them? They go, vzz, vzz. I said, nope, never been there. I say, I think I saw it on TV once, but no. She goes, would you like to go? I'm like, I don't know. I said, is it air conditioned? She goes, yes, we have a box. I said, cardboard? Now I'm gonna bust her chops. She goes, no, not cardboard, it's a suite. I'm like, oh, so do you have free food? And she said, yes. I said, oh, I'll think about it. The reason why this story is so exciting is probably 8 episodes from now, I'll come back to this story and you'll realize how everything in life does a full circle again. Josie says, Thomas, you've really never heard of the Indy 500? I said, no. She goes, come on. She had a Bronco. That was before Broncos were famous. So we get in her Bronco, and she goes, come on, I'll show it to you. There was a gate open, and she drives me on the actual course of the Indy 500. And I'm like, the gate's just open? She goes, yeah, I don't know. They left it open. And I said, is that a golf course in the middle of this track? And she goes, yes. I said, that's huge. I mean, and there's mag screens that go all the way around this track. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then there's this tower in the middle, and that's where the owners would sit. All the networks and TV and the really important people, VIPs. And I didn't know what a VIP like that was. So she brought me around this track. I'm actually on the Indy 500 track in this Bronco. And then we get stopped by the security guards. And they pull us over and they start screaming at her. And I'm like, oh my God. And they go, who the hell do you think I'm on? That goes on. You can imagine the words. She goes, officer, I'm so sorry. The gate was open. My friend has never seen the Indy 500. I wanted to show it to him. He goes, I will have you arrested. You don't get off this property now. Cut to that young lady was so humble and so sweet, because in my episode 7 from now, you'll hear the full story, but I called this girl 10 years later and was sitting in the basement level of the Pentagon when I was asked, how do we do something to change America, to say that we support our troops but not the war? And I said, Mr. Secretary, through a bunch of friends and people, Allison Barber, who is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, love you, honey, and Susan Davis, America Supports You campaign. I said, why don't we take a live satellite feed from Iraq and Iran, do it around the entire Indy 500, and have them do a satellite feed that says hello, and then have everybody in the audience say hello back. And everybody went, what a great idea, but how would we make that happen? I told him this story you just heard. Her name is Josie George Hummond, and her grandmother owns the Indy 500. Pretty magical how it all comes around in a full circle. So Josie, thank you for sitting in class with me in Indiana. And who would have known 10 years later, a full circle comes around again. And to this day, the opening of the Indy 500 is to the men and women of the military of this country. Indiana, wow. Lots of amazing, amazing memories, love. When I left Indiana, I said on a Saturday night, if my phone doesn't ring and nobody calls me to go out or to do something, then I need to move on. And I actually waited on a Saturday night for my phone to ring. It didn't ring. So I knew it was time for me to leave this amazing town, school, place. Something in my gut always tells me when it's time to let the universe take over again. I'd done everything I'd ever dreamed of in Terre Haute. I still love the town, I still love the people, and I love the Midwest. But I knew it was time for me to move on, because my phone didn't ring. And so I looked up, what is the number one college in America? Okay, I'll be honest. What's the number one party school? Because after Indiana for 2.5 years, I was ready for some warm weather. And guess what? The next episode, Florida State University. Get ready.
Happiness from the inside and out. Happiness from the inside and out.
If you enjoyed that song and would like to support Thomas Cook's music and ongoing podcast, please visit iTunes, where you can purchase Thomas's album, The Gift of Words and Music. For more information and to book Thomas as a speaker at your next event, please visit thomascookdc.com.